This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. The people involved with HeartWise Ministries want you to be healthy mentally and spiritually, as well as physically. We're also a Christian organization, so the health of our planet is of utmost importance as well. That's why today we're going to talk trash. The average American tosses out nearly 2,000 pounds of garbage each and every year. 2,000 pounds. This trash and everything in it ends up in landfills, in the air, in our water supply, and eventually even in our food. If you, like me, are tired of being a burden on nature and our entire planet for that matter, I've got good news for you. You can reduce and almost eliminate your trash footprint. How? By following some very simple rules in waste management. Our guest today says we can live well by throwing away less, much less. She's Amy Korst, creator of GreenGarbageProject.com, and a woman who spent a year in zero waste living. She's written a book as a result of her excellent adventure called The Zero Waste Lifestyle, and I'm happy to have her with us today. Amy Korst, welcome to HeartWise.
Happy to be here.
You make it clear right at the beginning of your book that living waste-free requires some serious planning. What do we need to know as we launch our own year of living trashless?
Well, I think that really all that you need to know is what you consume on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. Uh-huh. You need to take a good look at what you are putting in your trash can. It took me probably 2 weeks or a month to consciously examine every little item that I was putting in the trash, because then I could start thinking about alternatives. If you don't know what you're making as far as trash is concerned, then you're not going to be able to reduce that trash because you aren't aware of what's going into your garbage can in the first place.
Now, a lot of the stuff that you say we're throwing away, we could actually reuse it. What are some things that we could reuse that normally would be tossed?
Oh, well, there's all sorts of things, and actually, I'm a big fan of Pinterest. This has happened after my year of zero waste living. So if I have something that I want to throw away, but I think that maybe I could reuse, I can just Google it, or I can Pinterest it, or what have you. But things along the lines of Ziploc bags, for example, can easily be washed out, dried, and reused for storage. Canning jars, any sort of jars, really, candle jars, pickle jars, things like that can be washed out and reused for storage, for piggy banks, for pens and pencil holders. A lot of your plastic bottles can easily be reused. I mean, if you're drinking water from mm-hmm. a plastic bottle, there's no reason that you can't refill that a couple times before you reuse it. Clothes can be patched or donated to the Goodwill, things like that. So it's a matter of creative reuse, and if you're not sure how you can reuse something, give it a quick Google before throwing it out, because there are all sorts of ideas on the internet as well.
So you would simply, like, for instance, if trash bags, you would Google reuse trash bags. Is that how you do the search?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Okay. Now, also reducing, what did you find, Amy, during your year? And I'm assuming the year is continuing here. What did you find that you could reduce the most in your life?
I think that I found that food packaging waste was the biggest category of trash in my garbage can. So if you think about all the waste that you produce in the kitchen, you're talking a massive amount.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Everything comes in some sort of packaging, crackers and cereal and chips bags. And if you get prepared salad, you have the bag there, fruit pests, stickers, all sorts of things. And so that was my biggest project, was looking at the food that I was bringing into the house. And I found, and this is just wonderful because it improves all areas of my life, I found that the food that's really the worst for me, like Cheetos and you know, prepackaged
yes.
stuff that has all sorts of preservatives and artificial dyes, is what was packaged most heavily. Mm. Whereas the whole foods, which are both healthier for me and for the planet, really don't have a lot of packaging. And so I was just made a very conscious shift from the prepackaged kind of junk food to whole foods and bulk foods. And so I'm healthier, the plant's healthier, and everybody wins.
Fantastic. All right. Now, the next category that you have in here, of course, is extremely important, and that is not reduce, not reuse, but recycle. Apparently, there is a move afoot, and I'm seeing this across the nation, of people learning to recycle, beginning to recycle. How do you get into that? How do you start your family on a recycle program, which is vital to the zero-waste lifestyle?
There are several things that you can do. Most parts of the country today, I'm certainly not going to say all, most parts of the country are lucky enough to have curbside recycling pickup, and so if that's the case, you're kind of two steps ahead of the game already. Yes. If you're not recycling, the first thing that you can do is to call your local garbage company, because a lot of times the garbage companies work in conjunction with a local recycling company, and they can get you set up as far as bring you a bin to use for your recycling, and they'll tell you how often they pick it up, and they'll give you a set of rules for what can go in the recycling can and what can't. That's the way that I grew up for the first, I don't know, 25 years of my life. And then I moved to a little town on the Oregon coast, which I just love to death. But we don't have curbside recycling. And so I had to start figuring out, well, how do I recycle things in this town where nobody comes to pick up my recycling for me? And I have found that by Googling the name of my town and then Public Works Department, I can find what recycling facilities do exist. And so right now what I am doing, since I don't have curbside pickup, is in my garage I have different receptacles for each type of recycling that is accepted in my town. I have a glass bin, and I have a plastic bin, and a tin and aluminum cans bin, and a cardboard bin, and et cetera. And then once a month, I load those bins up into my car, and I drive them to a centralized recycling facility where everybody in the county can drop off recyclables, and I just dump them in the appropriate receptacles and start over until the next month.
Well, that's the way it is here in the town I live in West Virginia. We don't have curbside pickup. We don't have curbs. We live in the country here. And we take our trash. And so in our basement, we have these boxes, and we divide it up here. People will say, well, Matt, I don't have time to do that. That's a lot of work. Why do I have to do that? What would you say to someone who simply says, I don't want to, that's too much trouble?
It's a difficult mindset for me. I've certainly encountered the mindset. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. But the planet is important enough to me that I'm very happy to take the extra time to preserve it for the future. I mean, God's made a beautiful environment for us to live in, and it feels morally wrong to me to deliberately make that decision to trash the planet when 5 extra minutes a day would take care of that simple sort that you're doing.
Yes.
You can make it a family project. It just has never felt like a burden to me. I will say that I just had a baby boy as well, and the idea of preserving the planet for the future feels doubly important to me now that I have a future generation that I'm raising.
What I hear you saying is that you're looking not just at today, not looking at this moment, you're looking into the future, and you're wanting to affect that future in a positive way, and that's wonderful. Now, this next category here of waste is organic waste. Is there apparently some things which are okay to throw away? You know they're going to vanish from the face of the earth once they're thrown into the landfill or into the garbage can?
Well, here's what I found. First of all, there is certainly a category of byproducts that are considered organic waste, and if they hit the environment in the right condition, they will biodegrade and disappear and return into sort of that, you know, circle of life that we're all familiar with.
Right, yes.
And that would be any food or any sort of biological or organic waste. And that's really the principle behind composting. So you take your food scraps and you put them in a bin and turn them occasionally, and eventually they turn into soil, and that's
yes.
a you know, long way down the road. What I found in my research for my book, though, is that unfortunately, if we discard something that's an organic or biodegradable waste in the dump in the landfill, it doesn't have the opportunity to biodegrade, because in order to biodegrade, something needs exposure to oxygen, and in a landfill, we cover things constantly with layers of trash. So about the worst thing that we can do is take an organic waste that would biodegrade naturally, put it in the dump because it will be there for perpetuity.
Wow. So the idea that, well, this is biodegradable, it's going to go away. It only biodegrades under certain circumstances, and the landfill is not conducive to biodegrading. Am I right?
You are totally right,
okay.
Yes.
All right, okay. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll take a tour of Amy Korst's house, and we're going to find out how we can have a zero-waste kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, kids' rooms, cleaning supplies. We're going to find out how she's doing it and how we can also make an impact, a positive impact on our planet by reducing our waste right down to, what she says, zero. So stay right where you are.
Hey, Hannah, you about ready for bed?
Mom, I'm mad.
At whom?
God. Do you think he minds?
He's probably used to it. What's the problem?
The fall festival banquet at school is just 2 days away, and I'm catching a cold. I know I am because my head hurts and my throat feels like I swallowed sandpaper.
Oh, dear. Let me make you some warm herbal tea.
Mom, I prayed and asked God to help me not be sick this year like I was last year. But did he hear me? No.
Wait a minute. Didn't you go to school without your jacket yesterday?
I hate my jacket. Nobody wears that style anymore.
And didn't I see you eating ice cream and cake 2 nights in a row before you went to bed?
Mom, I'm a growing girl. I need nourishment.
And didn't I remind you to wash your hands after we came back from shopping on Monday?
Hey, I hadn't been playing in the dirt.
No, but you had been pushing a shopping cart where I told you flu viruses love to wait for their next victim.
So God isn't powerful enough to protect me from cold winds, ice cream, and shopping carts?
He sure is. He's also loving enough not to interfere when we do dumb things that make us sick. He gives us freedom, but he doesn't reward us when we choose to do what we know can do us harm. Prayer is a two-way street. We have to do our part.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I didn't do my part.
Well, I'm going to do mine. You just lay back and I'll bring you some tea. And you might want to thank God for allowing you the freedom to learn from your mistakes.
Thanks, Mom.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with the author of The Zero Waste Lifestyle, Amy Korst. She is the director of the GreenGarbageProject.com. Check that out. Lots of good ideas there. And she's saying that it is possible for us to live well by throwing away less. And of course, we not only live well, our planet lives better if we do that. And Amy, let's go on a tour of your house. Let's find out how you are zero wasting the different sections of your house. Let's start there in the kitchen. You've given us some ideas. Go over this again. What is the best way for us to have a zero waste kitchen?
Absolutely. I will tell you right off the bat here that when I tell people that I lived for a year without creating trash, they look at me really skeptically, like, I just don't have time for something like that. And I will tell you the thing that really surprised me, and it really surprised me when I started this project and got going, is that once I had a routine in place, this became truly easy. It was not difficult in the slightest. And I think the reason for that is because I was aware of the trash that I was creating before I brought it into my house. And that's the number one guideline for people, is that when you go to the grocery store in particular, don't buy things that create trash. Just don't bring them into your home. And then you don't have to deal with it after the product is used up. And so that is a really simple principle to apply not just in the kitchen, all over the house. So I would go to the store and I would need to buy, for example, a box of cereal or toilet paper or something along those lines. I can look at the packaging in the grocery store before I even pick out my product and pick which one is packaged in a more environmentally way. And I have to know what's recyclable in my community in order to do that. But I know that a bag of chips is not recyclable, so I just didn't buy them. That brings me to sort of my second idea, which is to make your own food. So after a while, I got a little tired of not having some things in my life, like butter is not packaged in a recyclable fashion, so yes. I stopped buying it for a while, and chips again. And again, the internet really is a marvelous thing. And so if I wanted to make my own butter or make my own chips, that's a simple enter into a search engine for a recipe. Yes. So I had a lot of fun learning to make my own all sorts of things. That's one of my favorite parts about the book that I've now written, is that it contains recipes for some things that are common that do create trash, like yogurt, like sour cream, like bagels and English muffins. So live like the pioneers used to live. Make it yourself.
Yeah, we're not inventing anything that's never been invented before. This is the way the people used to live in this country, right?
Absolutely. And that's what I always say to people who look at me like I've got, you know, six eyeballs. Come on. It's even more recent than that. This is Depression era. This is, you know, our grandparents saying, use it up or do without.
Let's move on to the bathroom here. How do we have a zero waste bathroom? And people are probably leaning forward to hear what you're going to say here. How do we do that?
The bathroom is much harder. First of all, remember that a lot of the products that you use in the bathroom come packaged in a plastic bottle, and that plastic bottle is recyclable. Shampoo, conditioner, body wash, contact solution, things along those lines. So you may just not be recycling things that are actually recyclable. But if that's not enough, you can also apply that same principle that I gave you in the kitchen. So, for example, if you are looking at body wash or soap, it's much more environmentally friendly to buy a bar of soap because a lot of times in the grocery store it doesn't even have packaging, and then when you use it up, it's gone. Yes. There are environmentally friendly toothbrushes out there. You kind of have to search for these products in particular, or maybe even order them online. So there are a couple companies, one that makes a toothbrush that you can send in to them when you're done with it, and they recycle the handle and turn it into plastic benches, or there are toothbrushes made from wooden handles that are compostable. There is floss that's compostable. If you need ideas for these things, they're only in the book or on my website as well. I have different products that people can use to be zero waste.
And The Zero Waste Lifestyle is the name of the book by Amy Korst, K-O-R-S-T. Amy, the bedroom. How are we supposed to make our bedrooms planet-friendly?
Well, the bedroom is really one of the easiest places, because if you think about the trash that you create in each room of your house, you're really not making a lot of trash in your bedroom. I think really the trash that I think about in my bedroom would be things that wear out, clothes and maybe toys. Clothes are very easy to not throw away, as in a Goodwill will take anything that, or a thrift shop, maybe not just a Goodwill. A thrift store will take anything that, you know, is gently used that you just don't want anymore. And so one more kind of bin to start in the garage is a thrift store donation bin, and you just take it, you know, once a month or however often. But clothing scraps are also very usable if you have something that is destroyed. You can tear up old sheets and use them for rags. I've stuffed pet beds with old pieces of fabric that I just didn't want to throw away. Fabric is one of those things that often is a organic material that if you just send to the dump, it won't biodegrade. If you have something that you know is an organic material made from plants like cotton, like silk, you actually can compost it, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. I also do recommend getting truly nitpicky with your trash, making it a fun family project. And think about maybe if you do buy some new clothes, they have a plastic tag with a paper tag attached to it. That little paper tag can certainly be recycled. It doesn't just need to be thrown away. It's every tiny little thing does make a difference.
Well, we live in a society today where it's almost impossible to be zero waste, but we can come very, very close, I hear you saying.
Yes, you're going to find that by the end of the year, I mean, accidents happen, right?
Yes.
Things do break, and we don't have a perfect society exactly yet, but I came very, 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 very close by the end of my first year.
Fantastic. Well, you know, anything that we can do collectively, when you do something, that's good. When I do something, that's, you know, you and I do something, that's even better. But when 20 or 30 or a million people do something, the impact very quickly becomes evident in our society, in our air, in our land, in our sea, in our food. It really, really changes. The other chapters here, we don't have time to go over, but I recommend, listener, that you get a hold of the book, The Zero Waste Lifestyle, Live Well by Throwing Away Less by Amy Course. She talks about zero waste cleaning, zero waste kids. That means you don't throw away your kids. You recycle your, just kidding. Zero waste travel, zero waste workplace, and zero waste holidays and special occasions. She's got you covered in this thing. Amy, any last words of encouragement you want to give here to our listeners who are saying, well, maybe I should start doing that? What would you recommend to be the very first step that they take on this journey to zero waste living?
Well, I always say, if anybody has questions that I've not covered in an interview, please get a hold of me on my website. I have an email up there. It's amy@greengarbageproject.com. And I just do want to say, after my first year trying to live zero waste, I made about 3 pounds of trash. I kept it in a shoebox. It was all plastic stuff, totally clean. And if you think about the fact that the average American makes 2,000 pounds of trash a year, I made 3, which saves 1,900 pounds of trash out of the landfill. So start. It doesn't matter where you start or how much you're saving. Everything that you don't throw away is something that doesn't end up in the landfill. And like you said, if we all do this collectively, it makes a pretty big difference pretty quickly.
Well, I guess so. You know, when I go shopping, when I buy something, even when we order something online, we ask people to please put the recyclable packaging in there. Don't use those chips that last forever. They put newspaper. And companies are getting on board today. They're willing to do that. If you make that request, just say, please package this in recycling. Take your own bags to the grocery store. Even if you're getting produce, take your own produce bags. There's a way of doing this thing. We can make a huge difference. Amy Course, Zero Waste Lifestyle, Live Well by Throwing Away Less. Thank you so much for being with us today. You've given us good words of wisdom. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, trying to live zero waste, along with Amy Course, who is living zero waste, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.